Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from over at FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sycamo of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we were planning on having some funerals for a few teams today, Trevor, but we looked through and just didn't feel right to bury the Cowboys or the Lions, and especially the Packers now that Rodgers is back. And really, we've kind of taken out everybody in the AFC that can be taken out at this point. And so there really wasn't any teams that were we thought about looking at some coffins for some teams, not quite burying them yet, but we don't want to jump the gun if one of these teams ends up in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, you know, they're sitting on life support. You never want to
don't pull
go
that
a little
plug.
Farther than you have to, you know?
Right. So we decided, okay.
Although we did bury the Jets like 4 weeks before they were actually eliminated. So.
We buried the Jets the first time. We've done this five shows of this. So we buried the Jets probably 6 weeks ago now, and they were like still in it until like basically last week. We almost got screwed on that one. We jumped the gun. We just assumed our preseason thoughts about the Jets kind of took over. But so we decided, let's talk running backs, because there's a ton of conversation and there's going to be for months, and we'll be able to link back to this podcast and show people, here's our stance on running backs and early round picks and all those kinds of things. And there's going to be tons of questions for tons of teams at the top need running backs. There's going to be questions all offseason about, who should take Saquon Barkley? Where should Darius guys go? For us to say they are first round talents and for me to have them as high as maybe even first on my board does not mean, because I do those grades in a vacuum, does not necessarily mean I believe that Saquon Barkley or Darius Geis should go first overall in the entire draft just because they are there in a vacuum. From a team-building perspective, there's a lot of evidence to suggest it may not make the most sense, and I know this is an issue you're pretty passionate about as well.
Yeah, and a good reason why I talked about you about bringing this topic up is because I've had some Bucs fans especially asked me recently, hey, Bucs are looking like they're going to pick in the top 10. It's clear that, running backs aren't really picked in the top five, so likely the best running back in the draft, notably Saquon Barkley, could possibly be available for them between that 5 and 10 pick that the Buccaneers might be selecting in. And the Bucs, don't really have a running game. Doug Martin's not really what he needs to be. Peyton Barber, I don't really see them, thinking that he's this long-term future, although he's been nice this year. It's kind of – he's got a, I guess I'll say, simplistic running style. I don't know.
Sure.
That sounds –
he's a good guy to have on the roster, but you don't want him to be your feature guy.
Right. Like, I don't know if he'll ever – I don't think he'll ever be a feature back. So then that brings up the case. Well, Jameis Winston does really well when he has a running game with him. Well, duh, every quarterback does. But this brings me all around to the point of, are you picking – should you pick running backs early? And my answer is no. You would have to be in a serious luxury position to draft a running back, not only top 10 for me, not only top 15, not only top 20, in the first round. I'm not drafting a running back in the first round. And I think you can look at the little hints as to why all around the league. Like, for example, let's just talk about the Senior Bowl. When we look at this running back class of the Senior Bowl, how many times do we just go, wow, this Senior Bowl class is really good of running backs?
Right.
Okay, well, there's at least six guys that you think are really good. Now guess what's going to happen? Next year, probably going to be the same thing. You're going to have a Senior Bowl class that you're going to really like of running backs. I mean, look at the guys who were drafted late this year. Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara are just the two examples that fly out at you of these players who – and it's not – it's not like Kamara and Hunt didn't perform during the draft process.
Sure.
It's just that they were – the running back position wasn't valued for them in the draft. Yes, they both ended – they were both picked in good spots, but ultimately that's what you want anyways. You never want to be the team that's forcing yourself to pick a guy where he might not thrive or something like that. So I said a couple of days ago on Twitter, man, if you know how to scout – and if your coaches aren't dumb, you shouldn't be picking running backs in the first round because the value of it is not there. That's just not a thing.
I think there's a little more nuance to it. I think I tend to agree with your overall premise that there are other needs that are typically more important. If you're weak on the offensive line, it doesn't matter whether you have a great running back or not. If you're great on the offensive line, you can draft one in the later rounds, and I think that you can still get good production out of him, a guy that fits your scheme. You know, if you don't have a quarterback, it's not going to matter as much. You know, there's a lot of different things that go into it. I think there are exceptions, and it certainly doesn't mean that there are times that this won't work out for a certain team. I mean, obviously, like, I know some people like to go back revisionist history and say, no, the Cowboys should have taken Jalen Ramsey over Ezekiel Elliott. Well, if he doesn't have the off-the-field concerns and the suspension for 6 games this week, Elliott's going to be one of the top 3 rushers in the league, and the Cowboys are a playoff team.
Elliott might have been like MVP at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are probably a playoff team. Think about it. They have a good shot of finishing 10-6 anyway when he comes back. You know, if they lose one or two less games, I bet if he plays, and I bet this is, you know, one, and Sean Lee's injury and Tyron Smith's injury. You know, I think at full strength with Elliott on board, this is a really, you know, good team. It obviously worked out for Dallas. I know people are always going to, and Dallas, and this is another part of the evaluation, Dallas doesn't play a ton of man coverage with their corners. That's not their scheme. That's not Marinelli's scheme. And at that point, Marinelli's defense was balling out. You were keeping Marinelli. And if you're keeping your defensive coordinator, you're playing to his scheme. And his scheme didn't value corners that highly. It's like the Steelers. They play a ton of zone coverage. They didn't value corners that high. For years, they didn't draft a first-round corner. And they got by, and they were a successful team. Even though I wish they had better corners, you know, they were a successful team because they valued other spots that mattered more to their scheme. So some of it really matters. The Cowboys knew they could be a really good offense, even if Tony Romo went down, if they had a great running back, because their offensive line was so strong. So I got it in their situation, but there are other times where absolutely team building wise, I agree with you. I don't think that it's necessary to draft a running back super high, especially when you have needs at one of the other key positions, like on either side of the ball, defensive, offensive line, at quarterback, at cornerback. I think those are issues that need to be addressed before offensive line from a team building perspective for most teams, with scheme in mind at the same time.
Yeah, I don't even know, you know, Bucks fans go back and they talk about Dalvin Cook, and, you know, I can just, you know, I can say from knowing things that I know now, just from hearing little things about what could have been, the Bucks were seriously looking at Dalvin Cook, mm-hmm. and they were looking at trading up back into the beginning of that second round to go get him. And I do think that Dalvin would have been better than the running game that they have had this year. But I wonder how much better. I do, because this Bucks offensive line obviously has not been what it's needed to be. But perhaps the chemistry there would have made it a little bit better. I'm not sure. But yeah, it just goes back to how you value it. If you don't have the offensive line, if you don't have the defensive line, like, it doesn't even have to be on the same side of the ball. Right. I mean, if you are lacking at interior disruption or edge pressure or something, and it's like, well, we could pick a D lineman we really need, or we could pick this running back. Pick the D lineman. That's mm-hmm. just like this. This is the way that football begins. It's how it started. It's the staple of it. You, running back to me is completely a luxury position, especially when I'm over here watching the Buccaneers. I know it's a little bit different in Tampa than some other places because they do have more feature roles, but the Bucs have had like this 4 running back rotation that's been going on the whole year. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got like multiple positions and multiple timeshares, and you know that you have to have a game plan that works to get the most out of such a rotation and all this stuff, then all of a sudden you're complicating things, which also, again, complicates the value of picking a running back high, because you could be having a guy who is more of a staple, who gets more playing time, who gets more playing share. And so that's why then the pick starts to go into – we bring the word efficiency into it. And at that point, you just have to wonder where the value and efficiency goes with running backs, and whether it really helps your team more than another spot. And I think the ceiling of how a running back helps your team compared to any other running back you might be able to get is often – much less in between than, say, like the league's top pass rusher mm-hmm. and the next great guy or the next tier of guys and something like that. So,
right. And I think there's a couple important things to think about when you talk about this topic. And one of them is look across league wide. And it isn't to say that running backs that are drafted in the first round just don't pan out or anything really to that degree. I mean, I don't think that's our point at all. Like, if you draft a running back in the first round, I think most of the time they end up being all right. You know, it's probably a really good player. Teams are going to miss on that a lot. But think about how many other really good players on a similar or better level than those first rounders end up producing in the NFL. I mean, Le'Veon Bell wasn't a first round pick. Kareem Hunt wasn't a first round pick. Jordan Howard wasn't a first round pick. LeSean McCoy was a second round pick. Mark Ingram was one of the last picks in the first round. You know, just looking at the guys that have been top this year. And then you have guys like Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette and Melvin Gordon, all who are good. But you could easily stack those guys up and say, you know, okay. You know, I mean, I don't think that the first round guys are significantly better or more successful than the rest of them. And in fact, a lot of people would argue the opposite, you know, add Elliott to that mix. But you have guys like Alex Collins coming out of nowhere that's been cut a couple times and really looking terrific for Baltimore. I don't think he's an aberration. I think he'll be their guy moving forward. Then you've had backs like that over the years. Devontae Freeman, not a first round pick. Derrick Henry, not a first round pick. And I think those guys, you know, Freeman already is, in my opinion, one of the best backs in the league when he's healthy. And Henry is the guy that I think will is already starting to take over in Tennessee and be the guy that they need behind a really good offensive line. So I just think there's a lot of evidence for taking these guys later and still being able, if you coach correctly, and you said it, if you coach correctly and if you scout correctly, you can find a guy that fits your system and can be productive. You can typically find those guys in the later rounds the way that the modern day NFL works. That's just the reality of the situation.
Coaching, I have learned more this year and not just because the Bucs have been subpar in this area, but just looking around the league and the longer that I do this draft stuff, coaching matters so much.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And when we have talked about, you know, normally it's kind of evolved because it's like, okay, well, you're scouting the player, you're scouting the traits, you know what they do well, you watch them go into the NFL. Sometimes it doesn't work. Well, I think before we used to just call that a fit, right? It was, you know, what a scheme fit or what the team was doing or something. So we would say, oh, he's a bad fit. But, you know, if you even get more – if you get further into the details of that word fit, it has to do with, you know, whatever side of the ball they're on, offensive or defense coordinator, and then their position coaches. Those mean a lot, man. And I'm just noticing that more and more. And the cream continues to rise to the crop with certain coaches, certain staffs, getting the most out of the players. And man, that's, you know, we love to do this draft thing and we'll always pound our chest when we get it right and things like that. But again, there are so many things outside of our control. Even if we nail it with a prospect's analysis, for that to come to fruition, totally out of our hands a lot of times. And a lot of that is pretty prevalent in the running back position, because especially in an age where we're seeing more running back by committees, more specializations to certain packages and mismatches and places on the field and where you want to get the most out of their skill set, that only multiplies how much better of a coach you have to be to get the most out of them, knowing that they're not going to get 25 carries a game to get those carries that you want. No. These guys are, you know, a guy might get 11 carries out of the game, and, and you want him to get those good carries that he would get in 25 out of 11. And so that instantly becomes a coaching thing. So,
and that's why I think that evaluating running backs, if you're going to take one in the first round, they can't just be one-dimensional type of guys. They have to be able to do a lot of different things. And that's why, like, if Le'Veon Bell were in this draft and he was on college what he's been in the NFL and you could see it and you knew it was going to be that way, we would obviously be saying Le'Veon Bell's the exception, because he's also happens to be one of the better wide receivers in the draft, because he's that good at receiver as well. And he's going to pass protect and he's going to play literally almost every snap for your team. And he's going to be one of the best offensive weapons in the league with the ball in his hands in space. You know, the list goes on and on and on. A guy like that, he's more than just a running back. He's a playmaker. Like, he's a guy that creates offense outside of just what your typical back could do. And so I think those kind of guys, now you're talking about a guy to me that if they can be a consistent running back and they can be consistent as a mismatch threat, a guy that you can put in the slot, the Le'Veon Bell's on the backside of 3-by-1 formations, things like that. You see more teams gearing toward that. David Johnson is that type of a back because he can do so many things in the passing game. David Johnson is going to lead your team in touches at the end of the year. I mean, he's going to get, you know, when you count catches and rushes, I mean, look at Le'Veon Bell. They're similar in their usage. And, you know, Bell's already at 283 attempts this season, and he has 75 catches. So these are guys that are going to get more touches and opportunities in your offense probably than any other player if they're used that way. Can they make an impact in a game where they only get 11 carries or so, like you're saying? I think that's the key for a lot of these guys. Look at Bell. Last couple games, he had 13 carries against Baltimore. He had 18 carries against Cincinnati. He had 12 carries against Tennessee. but 9 catches against Tennessee, 5 catches for 106 yards against Cincinnati, 9 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown in both of the last two games against Cincinnati and Baltimore receiving. He's making an impact regardless, constantly on the field, whether he gets carries or not. He only has 300-yard games this season, but yet he's generally considered the best back in the NFL. He's only averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Not all that's his fault, but he can impact the game in so many different ways on so many different levels, be a first down machine, be an underneath mismatch guy. Linebackers can't stay with him. Heck, corners couldn't cover him in the Ravens game. A guy like that, that's the guy you make an exception for, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like, but like you said there, you know, they're almost, you know, transcending the running back position a little bit.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And even, but even, you know, even a running back like Le'Veon Bell, you know, you're sure, like, I know, you know, we're playing the little exercise here. If we knew what we knew now about him in the NFL, how good he would be. But I mean, if a team, you know, if a team's sitting there in the top 15 of the draft and they've got zero pass rushers on their team, a pass rusher sitting on the board or Le'Veon Bell sitting on the board, I'd probably still pick a pass rusher, you know? So just from the draft's perspective.
Now, I think at that point I would have to get into how good a pass rusher are we talking about.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Because but, I think Bell's one of the top 3 skill players in the league.
Oh, for sure. Hey, you don't have to argue with me. Right. He's my sleeper slash not a really sleeper MVP candidate, but
yeah,
nobody seems to be talking about that, so I guess it is a sleeper.
He's going to have like 2,000 total yards.
I mean, he's what he has done for that Steelers offense is, yeah. I mean, everybody's saying Antonio Brown because he obviously leads the league in receiving, and
Brown has a shot to break the receiving record in one season.
Yeah, like
too.
Brown has been phenomenal, but like,
yeah,
you know what Bell has been able to do should also take like if you've got Antonio Brown in the MVP can like if he's your number one.
Yeah.
Like, Le'Veon's my number 4, maybe. Yeah. Kamara might be my number 5. I don't know. Right. I've kind of been thinking about MVP, and I've been going a little off the wall with it.
I could get on board with that. But we should mention Bell is the exception. He's a rare breed. But at the same time,
totally.
Kareem Hunt has offered a ton of value as a receiver this season for Kansas City. And I know the whole offense is sputtered, but even when he wasn't producing as a running back, he was producing the receiving game. And obviously Kamara has, and the surprise to me has been Leonard Fournette. And that's why I thought, you know, I thought Fournette can be a bell cow. And I think really his projection is pretty much exact. Like, he's averaging right at 4 yards a carry. He has games where he'll have 20 carries for 40, 50 yards. Because he isn't going to break one all the time, but then he'll have games where he gets 30 carries and 110 yards. And, you know, and that's your typical Leonard Fournette week-to-week stat line, I feel like. It's going to look like that throughout most of his career. He's getting a ton of carries, 21 carries per game, leading all rookies by far. He's getting production, enough production to justify continuing to give him the ball, but he's not blowing anybody away with his production per carry either. You know, he's going to be productive near the goal line. But what has been most surprising to me about Fournette is he's been able to be, I mean, they split him out wide as a receiver. I watched him run routes the other day as a receiver in a game, and I was like, what in the world? I mean, LSU never did that with him. So his ability to pick that part up has me a little more on board that he could be, you know, worth it as a number 4 pick. But you're right. As you look across the league, you know, those types of guys that are like Le'Veon Bell are few and far between. And I think when you're evaluating the running back position, you have to think about how much do they impact the entire game. And that's where people are going to be excited about Saquon Barkley. My question with Barkley is, I don't know that he's the runner that everybody else, that some of these other guys are that we talked about. I think he's a great all-around threat. Is he the pure runner? You know, when you need 20 carries a game, is Saquon Barkley going to get you, you know, maximum production between the tackles? I think that's the part of his evaluation that'll be a little bit trickier because he didn't really run for, I mean, his rushing totals at Penn State weren't overwhelming, and I know his offensive line was left a lot to be desired at times too, but I think that could be one of the biggest questions around Barkley is, can he get the running part down? Because I think we agree he can do the protection stuff at times. He can do the receiving stuff. He can be a mismatch guy. He can split out wide. He runs vertical routes all the time for Penn State. He has great hands. He is great in the open field. Can he do the stuff between the tackles? I think that's where a lot of questions will have to be answered about Barkley as people get into his tape.
Yeah, I think to consider a guy a top 10 running back talent, because like you just said, you know, you look at some of the box scores of Saquon Barkley, and like sometimes there are multiple times I think this year where he ended a first half with like negative like yards. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just like, and right. That's just the nature of the running back position, because sometimes that can happen, and that again, that all goes into the value of where you pick these guys. And like you said, when you were bringing up Bell, and Kamara and Hunt, you know, you have to make sure that you have these guys who can be more than just a running back at the running back position, if that makes sense. Hopefully it does.
Right.
Because you talked about them impacting the game in different areas. That's the only way that I could see a guy possibly being a first-round pick, but a lot of the times the value drop-off between, say, like a top pass rusher or a top pass blocker, certainly quarterbacks from the top to bottom, the drop-off from those guys of where you would pick them and the importance of the game of football often outweighs, you know, say, like picking Saquon Barkley if we thought he would be good. Like, the drop-off between him and whoever you would get in the second or third round.
Right.
You know, the drop-off between talent is, I think, what sets value a lot of the times with certain draft classes, and I think that's no more the case than with the running back position.
Right. So real quick before we finish up, let's just look through the top 10 or so and see anybody that we think could potentially be one of those outlier teams in a position to evaluate a running back given where the roster is and what needs might arise. I mean, Cleveland, if they're probably almost definitely drafting first overall. They've all but completely locked it up at this point. There's no chance, right? I mean, running back, though I think they need a running back, not at one, or I don't even know if their next first round pick, but anyway, okay, so at one, no way for the Browns. Giants, clearly a massive need at running back, but also look at the other positions of value. They recently said, you know, they want Eli Manning back next year, you know, and that's one, they want him to be their guy, but they don't even know who their coach is going to be, so quarterback could be up in the air for them. I mean, they're paying Jason Pierre-Paul and Olivier Vernon a lot of money. They're not drafting a pass rusher, an edge rusher in the early. They've got interior, you know, defensive lineup. They've got corners, at least on paper, that they like. They had some rough seasons this season. They drafted Eli Apple first round. I can't believe they'd give up on him this early. Janoris Jenkins is a former first rounder. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. So we'll see what direction they move in there. I think they could be one that could consider it.
That's a sleeper, but man, if you're not drafting a quarterback at two, you want to trade back, man. Holy cow. But
yeah, they could consider that too. They need offensive line help, but I'm just not convinced that, you know,
that they're going to do it.
Right. Then you get into the question of who's more valuable, Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis, or Quentin Nelson, because all three could be huge needs. And I don't know that the Giants will draft a tackle because Flowers improved a little bit this year and he's still going to be under contract. And I don't know that there's going to be a tackle better than him at this point. At least for right away. So I don't know. Giants are an interesting one. Colts, clearly, again, also another team that needs a running back, but forget it, man.
Marlon Mack.
No chance. Oh, yeah, Marlon Mack's still there.
My boy.
But also, no chance. I mean, the Colts have needs everywhere else, right? I mean, pass rushers, they need them like crazy. Offensive line help, they need it like crazy. So yeah. I would, for the Colts, protecting Andrew Luck and your future should be the biggest thing. San Francisco, they're probably going to lose Carlos Hyde after the season. If I'm the 49ers, I'm trading down and then we talk.
Sure.
Because you've got Jimmy G in place. I think Joe Staley, Trent Brown, you've got pretty good tackles in place. The interior offensive line needs some help. But remember, Josh Garnett's missed almost the entire season. So, you know, adding a player like Quentin Nelson is attractive to almost all these teams. I think you said that the other day on the podcast. Like, right. A lot of teams are going to want Quentin Nelson. They've addressed the defensive line heavily through the draft for the last three first-round picks. You know, will they want to go with another pass rusher this early? So corners could a possibility for the 49ers at all, but I'm not ruling it out for the 49ers. Denver, again, it's you're noticing a trend. Almost all these teams could use a running back. I like CJ Anderson, but Denver's they need a quarterback right now as it stands. Quarterback, offensive line.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I like CJ Anderson too. Like, CJ Anderson's been a good running back.
Right.
So, like, you're looking at Denver and you're like, oh, well, they could possibly pick Saquon Barkley. They need running back help.
But it's not going to matter. Their offensive line sucks. That's right, why like, C.J. Anderson isn't great.
What's the difference between, Barkley and C.J. Anderson? You know that C.J. Anderson is a guy who can get you yards and have great games and all this stuff, but like...
At the end of the day, getting hit in the backfield is getting hit in the backfield.
Right.
There's not a lot of backs that are going to have sustained success with that kind of an offensive line. So, yeah, they need to get better both sides in the trenches, I think. They've got a lot of needs outside of running back. Browns at six, which, wow, by the way, if they picked first and six... It'd be really interesting to see how they mess this up, but I guess I could get on board with the running back, but there's just so many other needs. I just feel like offensive line would still be a need, but again, how deep is the class you get into? And, do you want another? I think Ogba and Garrett are going to be the starters for a long time, despite the fact that Ogba isn't a great pass rusher, so I don't know that they go there. Maybe on the inside, maybe Maurice Hurst, and definitely corner could be a need too for Cleveland. Tampa Bay, I don't know. What do you think? Pass rusher.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt.
D-line or O-line or
just corner.
Or just punt the draft.
I should say this. I think the Bucs should draft a running back probably less than any other team other than maybe the Browns.
100%.
In the first,
100%.
They need pass rushers like crazy. They need offensive line help, but they need pass rushers and corners. And I think that's got to be where the focus is. They got to get better there. But
no question.
Chicago doesn't need a running back. They're like the only team in here that really conceivably doesn't even need a running back. The Jets need a running back, but they also need a quarterback. They need offensive line help. They need pass rushers, and they need corners. So I don't think we're taking going there. Bengals don't need a running back either. Cardinals don't need a running back. And then we start to get that further down the order. But just an interesting look kind of to leaf through and see. I feel like we think maybe if there was an outlier, maybe it's the Giants or the 49ers, and both could be potential teams that could trade down, I think, and then make their pick. So really in the top 10, I don't really like it for a lot of teams where they currently sit. Now, obviously, offseason moves and cuts and trades,
right.
That's going to change the picture too. But anyway, there's our thoughts on kind of the running back class, how to evaluate it, where the nuance should lie, and where you should probably value the position. I think if you're building a successful team, and every situation is a little different, but I think generally speaking, that's where we fall in it. Holiday cash. You need it, and we know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the holidays are just around the corner, and while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey games you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the games, you gotta go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Trev, you laying down money on tonight's game? Broncos, Colts.
Absolutely not.
A real barn burner, man.
The Peyton Manning Bowl.
Oh my goodness. What a disaster. That's the last Thursday night game of the year, too.
God, fitting, really? Fitting end. Yeah, I guess it is, huh?
Fitting end. Actually, Thursday night football's been good this year, but still, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, but you can't end it on a good note. You know? Thursday night football's got to end it with its true colors. Exactly. Broncos, Colts. Peyton Manning's not playing for either team.
Yep. It's going to be it. It's going to be I honestly don't know that I'll subject myself to 1 second of it. I always somehow end up watching a tiny bit of it, but I'm not sure I will this time. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got Fan Friday. We'll pick the games for you. We'll talk about the MyBookie lines. We'll do all that good stuff on Friday. And then we'll get you ready for the weekend, ready for a bunch of, there's Saturday games this weekend in the NFL, 2 Saturday games. We got a good slate of Sunday games, Monday Night Football. We're getting closer to Christmas season. It's a good time to be alive. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.